now. We hot, 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 Brother Moise. Hot, hot, hot. Amen. It's been good. Appreciate all that good food. Amen. All the ladies and all the things they've done in this church. The room is wonderful over there. And I was asking Brother Mitchell, I said, I think it looks like a Comfort Inn or something. Boy, it's really nice over there. And usually when you go into a hotel and the hallway's real wide, y'all that travel know what I'm talking about. And then that right beside, oh no, you got the wide hallways, you know you've got a nice room. And the nice big wide hallways, and I appreciate the place to stay. It's really wonderful. And I've enjoyed myself. And I really didn't know if I was going to be preaching or not. And I come to be a blessing, get a blessing. That's what we come to these meetings for. And I just want to try to encourage this church and Brother Owens, and that the Lord would encourage him as well. And we're going to take our Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter number 29. Genesis chapter 29. And I don't know exactly how this is going to go this morning. I really, really don't. And I learned a long time ago, and the Lord taught it to me the hard way, like most of you men that preach in here, you learn things the hard way. And, you better just mind the Lord. Amen. And whatever God says do, you just do. And the Lord will be, Lord will help you. Just do what He tells you to say. Say what He tells you to say. Do what He tells you to do. We'll stand for the reading real quick this morning. If you can, we'll stand together. Stretch our legs a little bit. Genesis chapter number 29. The Bible says, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither there were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. Now, it was here that the Bible says, while he yet spake with them, talking about these men, he said, Rachel came with her father's sheep, verse 9, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father, and it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Now, for time's sake here, we're going to stop reading. And I definitely want to just say what the Lord wants me to say and get down and let somebody else preach, no doubt. He's got other better preachers, amen, here than me. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us now this morning. You pray with me. Father, Lord, I sure love You. I love You, Lord God, and I pray, Father, that You'd please help this dear people. Father, You know, Lord, this thing upon my heart. God and Father, Lord, how You woke me up in the wee hours. And oh God, thank You for the time, Father. Man, that was precious, Lord. I thank You for that time, Father. Lord, and any time that You come to us and You meet with us. Oh God, I sure don't deserve Your mercy and grace. Oh Father, I thank You, Lord, for the ministry, Father, that You graciously placed me into. Father, I don't take it lightly. I pray, oh God, that You'd please, Father, speak to us, Lord, this morning, Father, as only You can. Oh Lord, with great tenderness and care, Father, for You know each heart. And You know each person here, oh God. And I pray, Father, that You'd help them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I appreciate you standing. And as we reverence the Word of God. And everybody knows this story. I don't have to really explain what's happening. Rebecca and Isaac have sent Jacob to the region, the land of Haran, to find a wife. And no doubt she knew what was about to happen with Esau, how that when the father Isaac would die, he was going to kill Jacob. And he said as such, she said, we have to ship him off to find a bride that he wouldn't take one of the these Canaanitish women. And so they sent him off, and we know the things that transpire between there and here, the ladder and the vision and all the things that will take place. When we get to Genesis 29, he enters into the land and he finds this little girl. And no doubt they become, and everybody in the South understands about kissing cousins. Maybe you don't. And he kissed her, and their love, no doubt, became fond. They became fond one to another. We understand the reason why. She was a beautiful, attractive young lady. And when he looked upon her, that attraction, no doubt, is what drew him near. And I hate to say that that does happen, but it does happen even today. People make mistakes by seeing what's on the outside, seeing what's before them. And this is exactly what happened here with old Jacob. He was smitten. And he loved her with all his heart. I don't have any doubt, amen, that he loved her. And we all know what kind of takes place. And of course, old Laban tricks Jacob. He says, well, I got to give you the older daughter instead. He goes through the consummation, wakes up in the morning, and it's a different woman. That would be rough, Brother Moise. I'm going to be honest with you. That'd be rough right there. And he said, you have deceived me. Of course, he went there. All the things he's done up until now in his life has been a state of deception. Yet here he is being frauded by what will be his father-in-law. And what is his father-in-law then? He says, well, serve me 7 more years. Now he had given him his first daughter named Leah. Now, the Bible tells us a little bit about both of these. And I want you to look with me just for a moment. Verse number 15, Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. Now, this tender here, it means weak. Most everyone that has studied this understands that. Now, I don't know exactly. You guys might know a little bit more than I do, and you can explain it afterward. Some people believe she might have had a disease. Maybe there was a problem there with her eyes. Maybe there was a disfigurement. But that word weak is not a description, but rather it is a contrast by the Holy Spirit to show us how man perceived her, how people looked upon her, how she was contrasted to her sister. And the Bible is going to tell us a little bit about Leah. And Leah was a woman who, no doubt, that man would look upon her outward appearance and would be drawn toward in a different direction. And I'm glad that God sees what man does not see. Man looks on the outward, as the Lord will show us through the prophet Samuel. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God sees what man cannot. God looks where man would not, because God knows what man could not. And the Lord looked upon her where man was not looking upon her. And I want to say something this morning as we get started just for a few minutes. That Leah was a typical description in the Bible of one that faced severe discouragement. And Brother Seton hit a little bit on it last night of what that discouragement can look like in the life of that psalmist. But spiritual discouragement often grows in the silent of places. And you never know when you're going to go through it. And you never know when it's going to happen to you. Or someone that you love is going to go through great spiritual discouragement. A wife or a husband or friends or a church member or whoever. Maybe even a child, and you see them going through that time, Brother Brock, but you just can't help it. And it tears your heart out. Boy, how you cry yourself to sleep at night, saying, oh God, please just do something. Let me tell you, spiritual discouragement will come when you feel overlooked, when you feel like you have been compared to others around you, when you feel like your best is just not enough. Maybe it'll come when you feel like your love that you should get has been given to somebody else. Spiritual discouragement will take over. Leah was a woman who lived in that place. She was not a barren woman. She was full of life. Matter of fact, the next chapter is going to tell us that Rachel was the one who was barren. And Leah was one that was full of life. She was not a barren woman. She was not an idle woman. She was very busy in her life. She was not a rebellious woman. She obeyed her father. She obeyed her husband. She obeyed her Lord. Matter of fact, it was Rachel that would take the graven image from old Laban in the previous chapter, we understand. It was Rachel that would take the false god, not Leah. Leah would be the one that was giving God glory, Brother Marks, for the blessings that God had bestowed upon her. She was not rebellious. She was just simply unwanted. And yet when we see this story unfold in the Bible, we see how God manages those broken hearts, those rejected, broken, what would seem like outcasts, that God comes to where they are. I want to give you a few things and I'll be done this morning. I want to show you, first of all, as this story will unfold, the pain of rejection. As we look at that verse 16 and 17, and we see that the Bible recognizes her as tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. The comparison here is immediate. Rachel is described and Leah is contrasted. Many discouragements will begin with comparisons in life. Might I say that's why the Bible tells us not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. He said this is a wise thing to do. And oft times, listen, we'll get in a place where we feel like that we are being compared to other people and maybe our ministries to other ministries. And I was preaching at this little place, had a bunch of missionaries here not long ago, at the end of last year. I had about three or four missionaries around me. I told them, man, I said, watch when you get on the field sending back those letters feeling like you've got to send back something more than what you've got. Don't compare yourself to these other missionaries. Don't compare your ministry to somebody else's ministry. You be who you are and what God wants you to be. And that's all you can do. And God will take care of the rest. The Lord will take care of those other needs. And listen, friends, so many missionaries do it. Let me tell you that, and not just missionaries, pastors do it, and pastors' wives do it, and lay people do it, and they feel like that they got to have validation from everybody around them. Listen, many discouragements start that. But it goes a step further in these texts. Then came the deeper wound. The Bible says, verse 30, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. Now I will say this, not unloved in general, but loved less. And I'm telling you, nothing cuts like being second place. Cuts to the bone. That you are less than what you deserve to be. I don't have a whole lot for a preacher to stand up and say, I told my wife I loved her when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. I don't laugh at that. I think that's classless. I think if you've ever said that, you ought to apologize to God and get right. Your wife should never feel like she's second place. You See, spiritual discouragement will often rest on the shoulder. And it'll whisper in that ear that you're not enough. That you're a substitute. It will whisper that you are not treasured. You're only tolerated. That so much more has been put above you. And this is a lie of Satan himself. The Bible says he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I want you to know, Satan's good at them lies. He'll lie to you, he'll lie to your wife, he'll lie about your ministry, he'll lie about your children, he'll lie about your family, he'll lie about your mother or your father for children. Hey, he is a liar. And he'll say, the things you're doing is just not good enough. You're not seen as good enough. There's the pain of rejection, but then I want you to notice as well with me this morning, there is the perception of the Lord in verse number 31. I love this portion of Scripture here. I seen this not long ago and my eyes kind of focused on it. And when the Lord saw. Y'all see that in your Bible? When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb. Hey, listen, people saw her weakness. But God saw her wound. Notice that phrase again, when the Lord saw. Jacob compared her. Laban manipulated and used her, Brother Jacob. God saw her. God looked down and saw what man could never see. Man. Woo! Amen. Thank God. Amen. That God doesn't look as man looks. Hey, listen, God saw her in a different light, you understand. God looked down, and what God saw was what He could do to make her life better, what He could do to make her life more satisfying. Oh, listen, He sees what others overlook. He sees the tears shed in private. He sees the silent tears. He sees the heart broke when the preacher's reading that letter to his wife of how awful their family is, how awful that they are, and how they wish he would go somewhere else. And listen, they sat and just weep together. God sees what others does not see. So when the devil says you're worthless, you remind him what you are in the face of God, because God sees you in a different light. Oh, we find not only the perception of the Lord, but oh, we see the pining here of Leah. Verse number 32, and I need to, what time did I start, preacher? Are we okay? We running all right? I want you to see this with me, though, just for a moment. Verse number 32. When Leah conceived and bare a son, she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. With every son, Leah revealed her heart. The name Reuben here means see a son. She hoped that her motherhood would earn the love of her husband. And I say how sad that this statement is. Maybe one of the saddest statements I've read in the Bible, Brother Don. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Surely now he'll show me some affection. She just wanted that love. Genesis 29:33, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. She had Simeon, which means hearing, and she is still now framing all her blessing around Jacob's opinions of her. We get to verse 34. Now this time she says, will my husband be joined unto me? That word Levi, that name Levi means joined. And listen, she was saying, now he'll love me. I mean, each blessing carried the same thing. Now there'll be some type of connection. And this is what she longed for and pined for, was a connection with her husband. It was a bonding with her husband that she had not gotten, that she had not received, and she felt a second place there to Rachel. Because she was. Discouragement keeps trying to earn for the seat in what can never be forced. It could never be forced. And that discouragement's going to step forward and try to do more and more and more. And if I could just do more in the church or do more in the ministry or do more here or there, then my husband will want me or my wife will want me or listen, that my parents will love me or they'll be drawn toward me more. And listen, so many people are fighting for some type of validation from somewhere else in their life. Sometimes you do it, Brother Lockhart, and you don't even know you. Here is old Liam. I tell you, when we get to that next verse, I find something else. I want to show it to you this morning. I'm done. I want to show you this pivot from the very ordinary. What we've seen as being the normal for Leah. And when we get to verse number 35, the Bible says, and she conceived again. Now, something shifts in this next verse, and I'm so glad that it does in the life of Leah. And up to this point, it's been kind of sad preaching. But when we get to this next verse, I tell you, it just gets all glory. Hey, because old Leah finally gets to a place, and the Bible says, she says after she bears this son, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Now Judah means praise. And notice the difference here. There is no mention of Jacob. No striving for affection. No reference to being hated. Nothing but praise. Hey, listen, here now with old Leah, she begins to change her way. And it is not about old Jacob, it's about the Lord. And she said, God has done all these wonderful things in my life. And let me tell you, discouragements will break when worship starts to replace all that approval seeking that you've been trying to do before man. Hey, listen, when you get before God and you just begin to worship and praise God and recognize that the Lord is the most important thing in your life and in your ministry, my friend, that's when you'll stop seeking the approval of all those other people and all those other organizations, all those other churches, and you can come and be who God wanted you to be and just be you, amen. Hey, just be who you are. Listen, the preacher was talking about the other day, sounding like other preachers, man. I'm telling you, I know exactly how that was. But listen, You kind of get to the place, Brother Hunter, where you just be you, amen. Hey, get up there and be humble and be the most humble you can be. And the Lord will bring you down exalted if you go down, if you go up abased, amen. Hey, listen, here is old Lee, and she said, God has blessed me. I'm going to praise the Lord in all these things. And this was the time that the Bible says she'll leave bearing for a time before she comes back. And the Lord's going to give her two more children, but she's going to leave off here, hey, with old Judah. Listen, Leah has stopped living for Jacob's validation, and she has now started living for God's glory. Listen, Leah may have felt unwanted, but heaven chose her lineage. From Judah, we understand, and you all know, I don't have to tell you, is going to come all King David. It's going to come the royal line. It's eventually going to become and come through that seed that old Brother Don's been preaching about. Amen. Hey, listen, Christ according to the flesh. Hey, I want you to see something real quick with me though here. Her greatest impact did not come from being loved by her husband. It came from being chosen by God. Woo! Amen. Hey, it came because God has chose her. God put her in that place. God had a purpose for her life. And when she stopped seeking the validation of all those around her, amen. Hey, listen, I wish every preacher's wife could get a hold of this. I'll tell you, there's a lot of them feel less. I wish they could all understand how valued they should be. Hey, listen, not just them, but all, amen. The Lord has you for a specific place, a specific time. Don't seek validation in all these other things, people. When you stop seeking that and you start seeking the Lord, when the Lord becomes enough. We've heard that phrase. How many times have we heard that phrase? Amen. When God is enough. Hey, listen, when God is all that you need, He'll be all that you want. When He's all you need, He'll be all you want. I tell you, when you stop seeking that validation, you say, Lord, you're all I need in the ministry. You're all I need. Hey, listen, you don't understand my wife. You don't understand what's happening. You don't understand what she's doing. Sometimes I just want to go, Brother Don, stop your belly aching and complain. And just live for the Lord. That's right. If she ain't who she needs to be, then pray she gets right, amen. And you stay right or you ain't going to be able to pray for her. That's right. Hello, y'all better say amen there. Amen. And you women, the same thing. When He's all you need, He'll be all you want. But when He ain't all you need, you'll want something else. What do you want this morning? Truly. What do you want? Preacher, I'm done.